someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in San Francisco, with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the Bears, and Bing's guests, Bob Crosby and Miss Tony Arden. And now here's Bob's big brother, Bing.
Hey, Ken.
Yes?
Attendez.
Yes? Okay.
Un moment.
All right.
Before we go any further, Ken, I want to make what I consider a startling disclosure.
Well, what is it, Luella?
Well, it may amaze you to know, Ken, that I am not Bob Crosby's big brother.
You aren't?
Mm-mm. Bob and I are twins.
You jest.
I speak the truth, Claudette.
Oh, you do.
I do not. Bob may deny it, but we're twins. In fact, he's really 8 minutes older than I am.
Well, Bob looks 8 years younger.
Well, he owes it all to wheat germ, yummy yogurt, and haddock. None of those items are accessible to me.
Bing, I just can't believe that you and Bob are twins. Are you telling me the truth?
Uh-uh.
What else is new?
New? Well, let's see. Oh, yes. Ken, I must introduce our first guest of this evening. You know, not too long ago, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, I borrowed a tie from the cab driver, and I crept into the peacock court of the Hotel Mark Copkins to catch a new young singer who had been fracturing the folks around here in the Bay Area. And I want to tell you, I was enthralled. I sat through two shows, and even though she's now at the Charlie Morrison's Mocambo Club down there in Hollywood, we flew her up tonight especially for this show, so all you folks in San Francisco could hear and all you folks on the radio. Her name is Tony Arden, and if she'll step forward, I'm sure you folks will greet her very warmly.
Thank you very much.
Tony, our opening selection tonight is a song entitled Silver Bells. It's from Bob Hope's next picture, The Lemon Drop Kid.
Mm-hmm.
The picture's very good, they tell me. Heaven knows how good. Would you join me, Tony?
Well, I'd love to, Bing, and besides, Silver Bells is such a beautiful song.
Isn't it seasonal, too? You know, Christmas will be upon us before we know it. It's like television. Zingo, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
John Scott, Miss Arden, and I are ready. Let's start this thing together, shall we? Hmm?
Silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling,
hear them sing,
hear them sing.
Soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
Hear the snow crush, see the kids rush. This is Santa's big day. And above all this bustle, you hear silver bells.
The corner Santa Claus.
Silver bells.
He's busy now because
it's Christmas time in the city.
Ring-a-ling.
It fills the winter air.
Hear them ring.
You hear it everywhere.
Soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. Very soon it will be.
nice, Tony and Bing.
Well, Tony thanks you, and so do I, Ken.
Say, Bing, did you see that postcard we got from Bob Hope, the one from Alaska?
Oh, yeah. Say, you know, I don't think Fat Boy ought to spend too much time up there in the Eskimo country. You know how crazy they are about blubber. Dangerous.
Well, Bob's not fat, no. Matter of fact, he's in great shape. Looks quite trim.
Well, he owes it all to Wheat Germ had a call in his Gossard narrow... and his Gossard narrow line girdle. Say, what was the postcard? Give me the vine on that. What
well, didn't you notice the postmark?
No.
The postmark, the Valley of 10,000 Smokes.
I sense a very clever tie in here. You're working up to something. Could this Alaska Valley have anything to do with the fact that over 10,000 smokers make the Chesterfield mildness test every day?
Well, I'd like to tie it in, but I don't see how, Bing. You see, the 10,000 smokes up there are from Alaskan volcanoes.
Well, I'm sure Bob fixed it so all those craters are now smoking those good, milder Chesterfields.
Meaning Bob is sort of Chesterfield's vice president in charge of volcanoes now?
Something like that. But Ken, now that we've mentioned the Chesterfield mildness test, don't you think we ought to give it to sort of a quick rundown for the folks listening in?
Why, sure thing. Friends, you can prove it to yourself that Chesterfield is the milder cigarette. Just make your next pack Chesterfield, then open them, smell them, and smoke them. That's the same mildness test that more than 10,000 smokers, by actual count, are making every day. You smell that milder Chesterfield aroma. Compare it with the brand you've been smoking, and you'll see no other cigarette has that milder Chesterfield aroma.
That's your proof right there, because tobaccos that smell milder smoke milder. Tobacco growers, well, they've said that for generations.
And when you smoke those Chesterfields, you'll see they smoke milder than any other brand. So be your own cigarette expert.
Sure, be fair to yourself. Compare them with the brand you've been smoking, and you'll always buy Chesterfield. And now Miss Tony Arden returns, and this time she's going to sing La Vie en Rose.
Hold me close and hold me fast. The magic spell you cast. This is La Vie en Rose. Kiss me, heaven sighs, and when I close my eyes, I see La Vie en Rose. When you press me to your heart, I'm in a world apart, a world where roses bloom.
wonder she'd injure you. Oh, that's very nice, Tony. That song will never be sung so well again. Now we turn to our next guest, another popular young vocalist, who is, in addition, a soup salesman of note. As a matter of fact, he's the head man of the Campbell Soup Club 15 program. Now it's with pardonable pride that I present my brother Bob.
Well, thank you.
What a boy, folks. What a boy this is. Look at that prim, athletic figure. Look at those sparkling blue eyes. That wavy brown hair. Those shiny white teeth.
Now, wait a minute. Take it easy, Bing. It's talk like that that gives me a swelled head.
Folks, look at that swelled head.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. You'd have a swelled head, too, if you had Bing Crosby for a brother.
Well, now, I'd like that dramatic pause in there.
Uncle Milty.
Well, now, which Bing Crosby is that you're referring to? Which?
Well, the sweet, the friendly, the jovial Bing Crosby that I read about in all the fan magazines.
Oh, that one. He's a doll, isn't he?
No home should be without one, and thanks to Decca Records, very few homes are.
That's nice of you, Bob. Real sweet of you to mention my records, Bob. And just to show you I'm a right guy, I'm going to mention yours.
You will?
Who do you record for? Huh?
Anybody. I'm desperate.
Ah, get out. I know. You record for Coral.
They're desperate, too.
Oh, you're just being fanciful now.
Well, maybe you're right. I don't know. I guess I'm doing pretty good in radio, television, on records.
Sure.
Well, I do have a real problem. I want you to help me get into the movies.
Well, walk up to any theater, plunk down 75 cents, you're in.
Got to do. I don't want to see a movie. I want to make a movie.
Well, now, I may be able to butter you up a little at Paramount. I'd be able to help you over there. What kind of picture you want to make, Bob?
Well, I've been thinking that maybe Cecil B. DeMille should be the director.
Oh, you want to start right out with an epic.
And I think the picture ought to have a cast of thousands of people. Oh, I should play the part of a big, strong Western hero and have Paulette Goddard, Jane Russell, and Betty Grable as my leading ladies.
Well, I tell you, the minute you get back to Hollywood, you go to the Paramount studio and you see Mr. Robert O'Brien. He'll take care of you.
Is O'Brien the casting director?
He's the studio psychiatrist.
Now, wait a minute. I don't need a psychiatrist.
Oh, yes, you do.
I'd really like to get into pictures, Harry.
Would you?
I'll tell you what I'll do.
Well,
if you get me a job in pictures, I'll get you a job in television.
That's about the nastiest offer I've ever had. Now, listen, Bob, you've got enough to do. Why don't you take it easy, relax, lie down, go to sleep. Good night.
Irene. Okay, Daddy, tell me a bedtime story.
The only stories you'd be interested in would wake you up and me, too. But take it easy, Bob, really. Now, don't worry so much.
Well, when it comes to relaxing, I guess I'm talking to the world's greatest authority on lackadaisical lethargy.
Just a minute. I got to brief you in this.
Lethargy?
Lackadaisical lethargy. Lethargy. Lethargy? I have to turn the carpenter easier. Now, read that line over. We'll see if we can get, out of it. Let me get a chuckle. Laugh it up a little, will you, folks? Don't just leave us standing here. We're an awful target.
Well, when it comes to relaxing, I guess I'm talking to the world's greatest authority on lackadaisical lethargy.
You are. Bob, what I'm trying to get over is that show business will get you down if you don't watch it. Now, you spent the weekend with me at Pebble Beach, and all we thought about was golf. We had a great time, didn't we?
Oh, it was wonderful. You know, those golf courses at Pebble Beach are the greatest in the world.
Well, come back again. Come back next weekend.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hey, Bing, next week I'd like to ask a favor.
What's that?
May I play instead of caddying?
You played? Why, you didn't tell me you played. I didn't know.
Well, I told you I want to get in the movies, and what good did it do me,
well,
too?
Well, golf is different. In golf, everybody's got a chance. But, Bob, you know, when we were strolling around the golf course at Pebble Beach, it reminded me of the old days back home. Gee, I can remember the first time I took you out to the Spokane Country Club. We were just kids then.
You were a kid. I was a baby.
Oh, yes, yes. But what I'm getting at... Back in those days, I was a caddy, and I used to mind you at the same time.
Well, that's right. That's how you develop babysitter spread.
Oh, no, I was active then. When I had the caddy, I'd wheel you out to the country club. I'd throw somebody's clubs into the buggy with you, and we'd trot around the course.
Hey, do you remember the time you forgot to bring along an extra diaper and you pinned the flag from the 16th green on me?
Yes, and when I got home, Mother said, "Bing, I'm afraid you made a mistake. Bob is number 7, not 16.
Yeah, and the next day, just to make Mother happy, I fixed it so you had to change me on the 7th green.
You were cooperative then.
Say, Bing, remember that little jazz band us kids had in Spokane?
Oh, sure. There was Larry, Ted, Everett, you and me. It was called Everett Crosby and his All Crosby Orchestra.
Remember the time we got the job playing at Mike Scaler's Chicken Inn?
Oh, Mike Scaler.
Everett led the band with a drumstick.
Well, he was growing then. He required a lot of nourishment. Matter of fact, he still requires a lot of nourishment.
You seen his new office?
No, what's he done?
Well, he's got the only desk in Los Angeles with a built-in barbecue pit.
I bet he's got meat hanging on the coat hooks, huh? Brisket of beef in the cloakroom. Say, have you looked in his inkwell?
No, what's in there?
I'll bet there's a bottle of Milani's 1890 French dressing.
He's a beauty, all right,
isn't he?
Isn't he a pip? Everett's the only executive in the country who uses jelly rolls in his dictaphone.
Well, he always had a sweet tooth. Just one, but it was sweet. Remember the time he got you and me jobs working at Benny Stubeck's candy store so he could get Hershey bars wholesale?
Wholesale? He got them for nothing.
Dick's cracking. Stubeck might be listening. That's their thing.
Say, I'll never forget the time Larry came into Stubeck's. Remember, on his first date with a girl?
Oh, wasn't he living? All duded up in a $10 pair of $5 pants and hair slicked down with vanilla extract so he'd smell exotic.
Remember, Larry and the gal sat down at the counter, and when you handed them a menu, he tried to be sophisticated and said, "No thanks, son. I never read while I'm eating."
And his girl laughed so hard the braces fell off her teeth.
And Larry thought it was a new kind of harmonica and picked it up and tried to play it. Same thing. What was that girl's name, anyway?
What was that girl's name? Let me see. Was she a brunette?
Yeah.
I think they used to... Her name was Herbertina Rochford.
That's right. Tina. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tina. Tina worked at the match factory. She was a dipper.
Oh, no. Yeah. She's promoted now. She's a tester.
Oh?
She takes every 100th match that comes out, strikes it, and holds it to see how far down it'll burn.
She always was a spanking girl.
Out. Yes, sir. You know, Bob, while talking about our flaming youth, it might be interesting... It's interesting to us. It might be very dull to others. I think perhaps we should slip into a song. I got a little number here called "Let's Do It Again." I think it recalls those happy days quite vividly.
We're going to do any special lyrics?
Oh, special lyrics. This whole thing is just replete with special material. We'll personalize this number highly. John Scott, "Let's Do It Again," huh, please? We used to rag up the jazz on pianos.
Let's do it again.
We used to play "Yes, We Have No Bananas."
Let's do it again.
For miles around, folks came to hear the Crosby Jazz Band.
Jack.
With those saxophones, we owned our own.
Till the finance company took them back.
We played for square dancing out on the farm bench.
Oh, man. Didn't we make the joint hum?
Remember the night that Everett drank all the cider in the barn?
And then he fell through the drum.
We were dynamite.
We played for amateur night.
We even played for dog fights if the price was right.
We used to do wackadoo, wackadoo, what? Let's do it again.
Oh, back in high school, we used to be such demons.
Let's do it again.
We used to have all the little girls screaming.
Well, they screamed easy then, I guess.
We once poured glue on Mary's seat. She never will forget.
Those kids have all left school behind.
Not Mary. She's stuck there yet.
Over, Marie. The teacher said, "Now after school, you must stay, sirs."
Say, I'd like to meet her again.
Fellas, fellas thought we was cleaning erasers.
Naive little man.
They didn't know.
You can bet we were the teacher's pet. At least we tried to pet with everyone we met. Elf school was a great education. Let's do it again.
We used to date in my roadster together. Do you remember, old chap?
Remember? I always got the rumble seat in bad weather.
Well, look at it. After all, you had a coonskin cap.
So I did.
We were a pair of well-dressed guys, as dapper as a pin.
Why, when we went out formal then, we even tucked our sweatshirts in.
The cummerbund. Girls used to say that I had Romeo's figure.
What happened?
I wish I had it again.
Well, it's just that your balcony's bigger. Much bigger than them.
Those were the days, the good old days. We were both the cat's pajamas, to coin a phrase. We used to get such a kick out of living. Now let's do it again.
Hey, you remember those happy hours at the pool hall?
Man, let's live them again.
Remember when we set fire to the school hall?
Let's do it again. Remember when we joined the scouts? For a merit badge we tried.
Just to test our nuts, we tied Everett up.
You should have left him tied. You know, I used to be terribly fond of Everett.
Well, I think Everett's okay.
Give Everett 2 touchdowns. He's a good fella, though, old Everett.
Say, look, why don't we call him?
Call him?
Yeah, call him today.
You're kidding.
Here's a phone, put a nickel in the slot.
Every nickel I ever had, Everett's got.
We used to both kick the tar out of Everett. Let's do it again. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Robert, you were great. Wonderful. If we can keep this act together, I think we're a cinch to get a split week at the show club on Geary Street. Bill Tanner's old show club. Hmm?
I think that's right, and then I think we'd go right from there down to Geary's cellar.
Why, certainly. Never leave the street. Have a whole route right up and down the street. But right now, we may wind up at 3rd and Townsend, too. But right now, as one Chesterfield smoker to another, how about joining me in an a cappella pitch for the Crosby's favorite cigarette?
Okay, Bing, as far as this Crosby goes, Chesterfield's mildness test is a thing. Chesterfield's have it for sure.
And also, Chesterfield's leave no unpleasant aftertaste.
Say, fellas, is this a family affair, or can anybody get into it?
Oh, jump right in, Ken. When it comes to Chesterfield's, everybody's getting on the bandwagon.
Well, I'd just like to tell our friends how that Chesterfield quality of no unpleasant aftertaste was confirmed. A leading research organization formed the country's first cigarette taste panel. These expert smokers tasted and compared leading brands for more than a year. And after smoking thousands of cigarettes, they reported that Chesterfield is the only cigarette in which members of the panel found no unpleasant aftertaste.
I concur. The findings of the panel have my complete acquiescence.
Ooh, that was your acquiescence. Now, here's a boy who got beyond his ABCs.
It clear up through in. I just missed lethargy. That was all.
Listen, you want to go back and talk about lackadaisical, too. You got up through N, huh?
Yeah, A, always milder, B, better tasting, C, cooler smoking, and N, no unpleasant aftertaste.
Oh, well, give this kid a line, he takes the whole commercial. The only thing I have left to say is this. Folks, join the millions who smoke Chesterfields, and you'll know how much real pleasure and comfort a cigarette can give you. Always buy them. Now, Bob, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll head Hawaii way.
Well, you're all dressed for Hawaii.
Well, then I shall away, I guess. John Scott, give my surfboard a push, will you?
What do you need with a surfboard? Why don't you just float out to sea on Trotter's Opu?
You've been hanging around too many writers. John Scott, if you please.
Beyond the reef,
the sea is dark and cold, my love has gone, and our dreams grow. There'll be no tears, there'll be no regretting. Will she remember me? Will she forget? I'll send a thousand flowers when the trade winds blow. I'll send my lonely heart, for I love her so.
Stewart on the guitar and Lulie Jean Norman, the Lorelei, in the background. Well, sir, that's the closing number for this evening.
I would like to thank Miss Tony Arden for joining us tonight and giving me such a great musical kick, as I know she did you also.
Also, thanks to Brother Bob for being on the premises tonight, being on the top deck here.
Well, I enjoyed it, Bing. And don't forget, if you get a chance to get me in a picture, I could certainly use it. No, I'm not getting any younger.
How old are you now, Bob?
27.
You are, too, getting younger. And don't look so worried. Wipe that look off your face. I'm going to send you a little check for your work this evening.
Well, thank you. Who's going to get rich with you next week, Ben?
Next week... Oh, are you fresh? Next week, Paul Douglas, the well-known movie actor, is going to be our guest.
Oh, Paul Douglas, he's great. Say, I saw him in Panic in the Streets.
Oh, he's a bigger panic indoors. Shall we ankle in, huh?
Okay, good night, folks.
Good night, folks. See you next week for Chesterfield, the best cigarette for you to smoke. Thanks, Bob.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in San Francisco by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guest, Mr. Paul Douglas.